The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Mr. Tom Fairbanks. Tom on the other side of the glass today, while our friend Ray Allen gets a little time away up in the Pacific Northwest. Hope he has a great extended weekend. Tom, we got some news from the University of Arizona a few minutes ago. They announced there will be an availability with Coach Sean Miller at 12:30 today. So perhaps we will...
Are we talking about a press conference?
Yes, we are talking about a press conference.
And this is before they have the meeting at 2 o'clock?
That is correct. So
all right,
folks can speculate all they want, but we don't know what's going to happen until, about 25 minutes from now.
Well, it sounds like some kind of a decision has been made.
It sounds like that, but we'll see what happens. It's the Buckmaster Show. As we kick off a new month here, Tom, it's Thursday, March 1st, 2018, coming to you from Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI. Have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, and kvoi.com, all of our podcasts. We have the complete show archive. Pretty much every show we have done since we launched the program the first week of January in 2011. The Buckmaster Show live line is open 790-2040. The question of the day for our showdown: what do we do about this stalled immigration issue in Washington? If you'd like to join in the conversation, give us a call. Our monthly showdown is where left meets right. And seated to my left, appropriately enough, David Morales. David, how are you?
Doing excellent. Thanks.
David is the creator of the blog site The Three Sonorans. He studied math at the graduate school at UC Berkeley. He finished his master's degree at the University of Arizona. He teaches now at Pima Community College. And what else would he teach? Math. David's sparring mate is the conservative columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Not the conservative guy. Well, I guess you could
One of three.
You're one of three. I'm not, you know, maybe folks would say, yeah, you are the conservative columnist, but there are three at the Arizona Daily Star. And he also writes for WesternFreePress.com, Joseph Morgan hosting a weekly talk show. It's called Common Sense. It airs here Saturday afternoon at 1. Joseph also has an advanced degree. His degree is in history. Joe, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thanks for having me.
It's always a pleasure to see you two gentlemen. Joe, what are we going to do about this immigration situation? It seems to be stalled right now.
Well,
is the wall the stumbling block, do you think?
Of course not, unless you're a Democrat. Listen, the way politics works is, and I get a lot of flack for saying this to my conservative brethren, is they hate to see any kind of compromise, right, on anything, especially the purebreds. Now, I don't compromise anything when I'm having an ideological discussion out on the street, because I'm trying to win as many people to my way of thinking about anything. But when you're in public policy, you're in a public position, you're an actually elected official, and you have to sit down across from somebody else who is also elected, a duly elected representative of another constituency group, you're not going to all agree on everything. So then you have to find ways to, if you want to get something done on an issue, and the issue of illegal immigrants is a problem in this country, and it is. There's a lot of issues with regards to it, and everybody admits that. In fact, every president has admitted it. Barack Obama talked about it in his State of the Union speeches. Bill Clinton talked about it in his State of the Union speeches. George W. Bush talked about it in his State of the Union speeches, and in fact, they had a lot of parallels to things that Trump said in his first State of the Union speech. So everybody admits that we have these things that we need to address, right? The thing is, everybody has a disparate idea of how to address them. So when we go into it, you have to be willing to concede ground on certain issues. You're not going to get 100% of anything that you want. Okay, so they talk about presidents setting agendas, right? Well, one of Trump's big agenda items, which I have stated on my radio show and publicly, I am philosophically opposed to an actual brick and steel mortar wall. But I am for a border security of some kind. He's the president. He wants a wall. That's the way he's going about it. And that's fine. It's his prerogative to do so. And if people want to join him in that fight, fine. I think a double-layered security fence, I wrote about this in the Arizona Daily Star, would be a better idea. But that's, I'm not the president. So we need some kind of security structure, though. And they've talked about, they voted this kind of in 2004, years ago. They actually voted for it, but they never funded it. That's Congress for you. So my point is when he says, listen, I want, this is the one non-negotiable. We have to stop the flow of immigrants. And that's the only way to do it, a physical barrier on these areas that you need the physical barrier. And that hasn't happened yet. And he says, so that's non-negotiable for me. It's going to have to go into the budget. We're going to actually have to do what many of you have voted on in the past. Some of those who've been there for 25 years and years, they've actually voted for this before. And so he's saying that's non-negotiable for me. And he's using the DACA issue, which a lot of these people, they've had an opportunity when they controlled it. The Republicans, they did nothing. When the Democrats controlled it, they did nothing. And so he's using this as a chance to say, hey, listen, you guys say you want to do something about DACA, I'm with you. So here's how I'm going to get something that will actually stem the tide of illegal immigration. And then the comprehensive stuff you guys all talk about, we can bandy that around later on. But we have to get something done here. And that's, again, I think it's a great bargaining tool for him. And it actually it puts the foot to the fire of a lot of these other politicians who have been on both sides of that fence, pun intended. And so I think it's great what he's trying to accomplish.
David, what do you think?
Well, I'm not sure what exactly he's trying to accomplish. I think what Republicans have done over the years is they always use these simple-minded issues to rally their troops. So, for example, you know, in the past, or even and now is you know, pro-life. You know, I can only vote for someone if they're pro-life. The gay marriage issue. And I think what Trump did here is he riled up his troops by, you know, there was no issue with DACA. He didn't have to do anything with it. And of course he did. And so, you know, when I listen to the morning show, they always make fun of Democrats talk about DACA, DACA, DACA. Well, it became an issue because of Trump. I mean, Trump didn't have to you know, say that it's going to end, and it was supposed to end next week, right? But then the federal
March 5th was the deadline,
and the federal court said that that's not going to happen. So it was a needless thing. But what it does is it rallies the troops. It always rallies the troops to, you know, just to get the passion out of people. While all these massive, you know, if you were to prioritize things. You know, education, healthcare, you know, safety and all these things. And the wall is just, it's a symbol of stupidity, a symbol of xenophobia. It's not going to accomplish anything because most people come in here legally, you know. And it's just like a primitive thinking. Like we're using, you know, what, 12th century Chinese, you know, wall thinking to apply to the.
You're talking about the Great Wall of China.
The Great Wall of China. It's like.
Is that what we're going to build?
And, you know, and that's, and to show that there is, you know, this racism and other stuff involved is, you know, if you're a libertarian, if you're a true, you know, capitalist, you don't want the government to get involved in the flow of labor and goods. And here, you know, we have a demand for cheap labor and they're supplying cheap labor. So why would the government interfere with this process? And the thing is, we're all benefiting from it. Like you know how like Jewish people have like kosher food. I think one thing that Republicans should do is have certified immigrant-free food. And so this means no immigrant was involved in the planting, the harvesting, the shipping. Like, if that's how much you really hate immigrants, do that and pay that cost for that food, and we'll see, you know, how humble people get after that.
I'm just sitting over here grinning. I mean, I didn't want to laugh out loud because the fact...
Well, it is ridiculous. It's supposed to be laughable.
The fact of the matter is this has nothing to do with the economy or anything else. For example, illegal immigration, and I've said this before on my show in which I talked about the DACA issue, illegal immigration actually hurts first-generation immigrants the most. It hurts. It takes wages away from them. That's exactly what it does. There is a need to expand our worker programs. I don't understand why we can't get to that reality, because there is a need for labor in certain of these areas that illegal immigrants are feeling.
Computer science, namely?
Yeah, but that being said, mm-hmm. You can accomplish that by, through a legal process that is not going to diminish the actual incomes of American citizens in the minority class primarily and first-generation immigrant people. This is a huge thing that I don't understand why nobody in the Democrat Party wants to talk about it if they claim to care about minorities, because they are literally losing money, and they're American citizens. And I'm sorry. I'm an American, so I care more about fighting for my American citizen interests than I care about anybody else. And I believe that if we want to change things economically, you can do that through better trade deals, better trade policies to raise up the level of the Mexican people or the Central Americans who are using Mexico to funnel through so that they have better opportunities in their countries. That's what that would be what I'd be fighting for. But I am not for doing it as an end around so that, you know, again, as you say, these greedy corporate heads can actually gain even more money by underpaying and undercutting the actual employ of American citizens and their labor. Well, so,
I mean, it's interesting that now you care about the income and the success of minority people. When, you know, I know you said you're an American, you care about Americans first, but, you know, I'm a citizen of this world first. I'm a human being first, all right? And as a Christian, you should care about God's creations first, right? These are human beings, and so we're talking about the DACA program, right? We're not talking about people crossing the border right now. These are two different issues. The DACA issue are people who have been here since they were kids, who, you know, are mm-hmm. law-abiding citizens, and they want to deport them, mass deportation. And so there's all these parallels. I know that, you know, people hate these parallels, but if you look at Germany, you know, what, 80, 90 years ago, you have banning of books in Arizona, check. Papers, please, check. You have, you know, militarized checkpoints in the state, check. And then now you have you want a mass deportation of millions of people.
All right, hold your thought right there. We're going to take our break. Lauren is on the line. Lauren, why don't I take you – well, let's take you real quickly, Tom, then we'll do our break. How's that? Lauren, go ahead.
Yes, sir, very briefly. Mr. Morales had mentioned something about the Great Wall of China. I don't know that it was disparaging, but I'll say this. That Great Wall served a tremendous purpose over centuries that it took to build to protect the home country from marauders and invaders. And, you know, just to boil it down, good fences make good neighbors.
Okay, Lauren, thank you. And David, you'll have your response when we after we take the break. Hey, we want to welcome a new sponsor here to the Buckmaster Show. It's my favorite bakery in town. It's Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's is located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. The owners, Steve and Sherry, do just a beautiful job with European baked goods, breads, pastries. Oh, my goodness, the brownies there. They are addicting. And, of course, they are open right now for lunch. Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com. There's a link to Mona's Danish Bakery. I think both David and Joe agree on one thing. They like good food. Isn't
it? Oh, yeah. I love bread especially.
So you'll have to both check out Mona's for bakery and lunch. We'll take our break right here. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, we'll talk with Reverend Robin Hoover. Dr. Hoover is the founder of Humane Borders. The Friday Roundtable features Dan Shear of the Green Valley News and Jim Ninsel of the Tucson Weekly. Plus, Matt Russell has Weekend Watch on Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's Voice. It is the Buckmaster Show, coming up on 1222. It's our monthly showdown. Before we get back to the showdown with David Morales and Joseph Morgan, want to tell you about one of our fine sponsors, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. David, have you been over there?
Oh, I love it there. They have an awesome jazz festival.
Yeah, they do. They have so many events going on. Joe, have you been over in that part of the world?
No. I've never been there.
Okay. Well, it's only 3 hours from Tucson, so it's not that bad a drive at all, and lots of opportunities to recreate, as they say, hiking, camping, exploring historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of the great places to stay and visit in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. David, before the break, we had a caller, Lauren, talking about the Great Wall of China that, according to Lauren, served its purpose in keeping out...
the Mongolians.
Well, so-called bad people, right? some centuries. So I didn't let you respond to Lauren.
I was just going to say, I mean, that was also at a time before we had cars and planes and radars and drones and, you know, detectors, satellites. So... you know, it could have kept you out back then, but now you can just fly over, you can drive around, you can dig underneath. But I mean, it's this primitive idea of where this is not the main priority of the United States, and it shouldn't be, because it's not really, I mean, it's a problem in the sense that, okay, you have people living in the shadows and stuff, but you know, the way it was working before was okay, well, we have DACA, you can work, you can go to school here legally. And maybe let's fix, you know, our economy. Let's fix our schools. Let's pay teachers more. Let's, you know, right, you know, West Virginia, they've been out for 4 or 5 days now, all the teachers. I mean, there's major problems internally. And, you know, it's always like this. It's always we got to attack gay marriage because it's an attack on us. We got to attack because illegal is illegal. And it's always these morality arguments where, you know, the law and the sacred, and laws are written by human beings who.
And by the way, you were correct, or one of our listeners wants to correct you, that it's illegal immigrants, not immigrants.
So, you know, I was saying with that was, just like let's have an illegal immigrant, if you will. I don't like using that term. Illegal immigrant, kosher food and products, where the only people who touch all your food that's grown in Yuma and in the fields and slaughterhouses and shipping were American citizens certified. I mean, if that's how much you really care about, not having illegal immigrants involved in the process, just certify it. And then you'll call out all the businesses, you'll call out Walmart, you'll call all the good old, usually Arizona Republicans who own these.
Wouldn't that be kind of racist though, David, to do that?
Well, that proves the point is like we don't want, you know, cheap immigrant labor, illegal immigrant labor, and then we do want it. You know, okay,
let's bring Joe in.
I wouldn't say anybody doesn't want it. And if you don't like the word illegal, use unlawful. They are here unlawfully. There's no getting around that. It's not a criminal thing. It's a civil thing. People need to make that distinction. But they are here unlawfully, and they do hurt society. All right. And so to try to act like
they
don't.
How do they hurt society?
I just explained it to you. The biggest hurt, aside from state issues with dealing with, trying to pay for people's medical care and different things of that nature. And they did a whole article on this. It was actually run during the 2016 election by the Politico. A half a trillion dollars, that's the estimate, $500 billion wealth transfer to these companies who employ illegal immigrants because of the lower wages, that they're able to lower wages and then pay these people under the table. It's a $500 billion wealth transfer. So it's affecting, like I said. But again, I wanted to get back to the origination of this debate, because as you yourself said, this is about DACA, right? Mm-hmm. And you somehow think that the DACA thing is entirely Donald Trump's fault.
No, I never said that.
No, because you're saying he's using it as a football. So
he is that.
You therefore said, and now if I'm misquoting you, correct me, Bill, but you said earlier in the discussion that Trump was using this, that he didn't have to stop it, and he could have gone. But see, that's incorrect if you really actually care about the DACA people, because the DACA thing gives no pathway to citizenship for these people. It literally keeps them, hold on a second, it keeps them in limbo for the rest of their lives, potentially, unless Congress does something. Now, I don't care where you stand. I have some very far-right conservative friends who think that they don't deserve to have a pathway to citizenship. Doesn't matter if they were brought here.
They should be sent back.
Yeah, they should be sent.
In fact, I interviewed one of the, one of the five now CD2 Republican candidates, Casey Welch, I believe.
Yeah.
He was on the show last week, Joe, and I asked him, what about these 31,000 so-called dreamers, what should we do with them? And he said, well, I don't think he said it may sound cold-hearted, but he did say we need to send them back.
Okay. And see, that's my point. They stay forever in limbo by what Barack Obama did, whether you agree or not. I think it's laughable that these judges think that they're – Trump will win this before the Supreme Court. He will win it when it finally makes its way. But they said they wanted to go through the proper judicial process. That's essentially what they told him in this latest ruling. Because what we have is we have activist justices, and it's laughable to me, literally saying, excuse me, one president, you can't say what another president did can be reversed. It's not an act of Congress. It's one president making a decision. By the way, deferred action means I'm not going to enforce the law. I'm actually going to create a little program, call it something, and then say I'm not going to send these people out of the country, which they legally could be because they technically are here unlawfully. However, I do think there's a case to be made for people who did not willfully violate the law, which is the case of these individuals, to say, listen, can't we find a way, since they consider themselves America, they want to be a part of the American fabric of society, so that we can actually get them a legal pathway to citizenship? Okay, fine. Then now we have a political discussion. question. Now we have to deal with it politically. And that's where Congress is duly elected. All these constituents from all over the country, they vote a representative, they vote senators, and we go and we debate things. But that didn't happen with DACA.
Okay.
Hold on a second. It was just a big football. So then Trump comes along, and he wants to do the one thing that's going to stop illegal immigration, which would include stopping further people bringing children here with them and everything else, creating another potential problem down the road in which we'll have to do another DACA thing to protect them. He says, we're going to close it off. And that's the one non-negotiable. And then we're going to deal with this because he says, by the way, I'm for giving them a pathway to citizenship, which, by the way, what is it? Like 82% of Americans agree that they should. And so it's a winning proposition. And so Trump is being astute here politically by knowing the Democrats need a win because they're the ones out there touting themselves as being their champions. And so he's saying, okay, here's my non-negotiable to get that.
Okay, well, thanks for leaving me 30 seconds left to
respond. No. And I'm actually going to extend this a few minutes because I've got Carl, then I'm going to go to you, David. Carl has been waiting on the live line. Go ahead, Carl.
Yes, it's one of those things. If somebody, the children who were brought here and had no control over it, fine. It's not their fault. Do whatever is necessary to make them, you know, get them citizenship or whatever. I mean, if a six-month-old baby to 8 years old or whatever the heck, they can't help it. But I've got a question for the gentleman who's a citizen of the world. If you're going to do that, then maybe we should have worldwide rules and laws and about immigration. I would love to have to enforce the rules of immigration the same way Mexico does for their immigration. Would you like to address that, please?
Okay, thank you, Carl.
If you would love our immigration policy to be like Mexico's, then you're an inhumane human being because that's how they treat people south of their border, and it doesn't justify us to be treating them like that. Now, to respond to something that Joseph was saying, for people who do care about DACA, I mean, that was a great civics lesson, right? But what you're saying is, well, this gives them a pathway. You know what? If you don't have DACA, you have mass deportation. So in the real world, and not in this ideal world where Congress passes a bill and all this stuff, the real world is they face mass deportation now, and DACA allows them to stay here now. And until Congress gets, you know, its act together, which they probably won't for many, many years, you won't have mass deportations. So what Trump is doing is, you know, and this is already, you know, anti-Semitic, events are skyrocketed. I was listening on NPR yesterday. You know, there's people feel emboldened. People, white supremacists feel it's okay to come out publicly now. And you know, there's this rise of this, you know, it's scary, this white supremacy that's coming out. And, you know, the legal's illegal. Well, you know, when slaves used to escape, it was illegal for them to escape. You know, and so the laws are written by the, you know, it's about protecting property. And it's about treating people like second class citizens.
But getting back to DACA, you're saying that what does that have to do with the white supremacy? I mean,
because
you're contending there's white.
Because supremacy. I mean, the supremacy is that first of all you focus on mostly brown people, and it riles people up to say let's get rid of them. They're illegal. So it's like a moral argument, but it's not. They're not immoral people. They're people. And if they've gone to confession and Jesus has forgiven them, they've forgiven them for crossing
the
border.
And Joe, you're not saying send these people back, are you?
The DACA people? No, I actually think that there's a viable argument to be made.
But without DACA, you'd start the deportations, don't you?
How? In what world? Because you talked about
because
real
they don't
versus
have protection.
Illusory.
How would you even deport all of these people?
Yeah, exactly. Where have we seen mass deportation anywhere? Where?
Obama.
He didn't have mass deportation.
Millions of people.
Yeah, that's not mass deportation.
But see, and then you also said that, oh, these people hurt the Mexican community. You know what hurts the Hispanic community? Is when you deport millions of fathers breaking up the family, leaving kids here who are citizens. That breaks up the family more than, oh, my income got lowered. That's drastic. You have millions of families. I mean, from a family.
I think that makes sense. Of course, nobody wants to break up family.
Of course not. Yeah. But if you're a lawbreaker, if you break any kind of law out there, and I don't care if you're a father of three kids, two kids, eight kids, whatever, and then they come to your house to arrest you for said violation, should we all sit there and go, breaking up the family, police, breaking up the family. No, we wouldn't say that. And we shouldn't say
but
that.
You
in
do.
This. Yeah, it doesn't matter. They broke the law. That's my point.
But you break up a family, and now you have eight
DA,
people.
They made a willful decision to violate the law when they came here. Then they built this family. I don't shed tears for that kind of stuff.
Because you have no heart.
No, that's not true. That means you have no basis for law and order whatsoever.
The law and order is written by people, and it's mostly white men who have written the laws over time.
Oh, so if all... let's just say non-white people were making all the laws, we wouldn't have police arresting anybody. There would just be crime rampant everywhere.
What I'm
everywhere.
Saying is,
well, that's quite an indictment you allow, of
when
people's
you allow,
color
when
by
you, allow,
you.
When you allow people to come in Ellis Island, and that's fine, that's legal, and then but nowadays when it's brown people and you want to deport them, break up their family, it does nothing good to the United States. To have broken up families, millions of broken up families, it leads to the future of crime. It's not good.
All right. You know? Very, we understand certainly the passion, really, from both of you. Thank you very much, Joe Morgan.
Sure,
we'll listen
absolutely.
For your program at 1 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. And there's no column this week because you had a column last week. Did I get
no,
that?
2 weeks ago. I won't be in this Sunday, following Sunday.
Okay.
And there's three of us now.
Oh, yeah. All right. We'll look for your column in the Arizona Daily Star, David, at Three Sonorans.
Yes.
The ThreeSonoransBlog.com. All right. Coming up on 12:35, Don Luce, our Buckmaster Show contributor on the law, is up next. Be right back.
All right.
The wait is over, Tucson. For the first time in Arizona history, red pandas are at the Reed Park Zoo. This adorable duo will be calling Tucson home until March of 2018. For more information, visit reedparkzoo.org.
An Indian food lover's paradise awaits at Indian Twist, located at the southwest corner of Swan and Camp Lowell, with a varied and extensive menu including vegetarian options and many dishes prepared in the tandoor oven. Indian Twist offers takeout and buffet lunch daily, with dinner served family style. The full bar features Indian beers on tap. Indian Twist, Swan and Camp Lowell, and IndianTwistAZ.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The wait is over, Tucson. For the first time in Arizona history, red pandas are at the Reed Park Zoo. This adorable duo will be calling Tucson home until March of 2018. For more information, visit reedparkzoo.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by our friends at Green Things. One of the many things to like about Green Things for gardeners are their free workshops. And usually it's Saturday about 10 o'clock, and they do sometimes Sunday as well. This week, it's a fairy garden workshop. So you can create your own little fairy garden. They'll tell you how to do it at Green Things this Saturday morning at 10. They're at 3384 East River Road. And that is, of course, they're on greenthingsaz.com. They have a very nice link to the Buckmaster Show website now on Green Things. And we thank Jan and Jack for that. Let's welcome now Don Luce. And I've never really asked Attorney Don Luce if he does any gardening. I don't know.
No gardening.
But I know he appreciates beautiful green things.
I love green things. No gardening personally.
All right. Don Luce of Luce Brown Attorneys have three, Luce Brown and Hobkirk, excuse me, attorneys at law. They have three offices, two in Phoenix, and they have a beautiful office on River Road. Don Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor. He's the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers. That's in its second printing, and we always ask him, after this legislative session, I think there might be, maybe we need a third edition of the book, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Don, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill.
Arizonans have, well, how do we put this? The numbers are high getting into our, seems like every month when we have you on, kind of marijuana news.
I didn't miss the planned words. And,
no, yeah.
You know, the Arizona Medical Marijuana Act has, you might say, been embraced by Arizona residents to the point 153,000 people now have medical marijuana cards, meaning that they may legally use medical marijuana in Arizona. And we have now about 130 dispensaries selling marijuana products statewide under the auspices of the Arizona Department of Health Services.
That much is,
yeah,
surprising.
So, well, some people find it surprising. If you want to put
some might,
if you want to put a number to the medical marijuana that is sold,
yeah, how much?
1.3 million pounds.
Whoa.
Annually.
Whoa.
So this
Is that like translate to 43 tons?
Not sure about the translation, but it seems to me that that constitutes a lot of medical marijuana in a single year, to be consumed, of course, by 153,000 people.
I know that Howard Fisher at Capital Media Services translated all of that into 121 million joints.
That's yeah. Now, let me also mention this. So when the Arizona Medical Marijuana Act was enacted in 2010 by a voter-approved initiative, it was contemplated that there would be certain conditions, specified conditions, which would permit the patient to legally use marijuana as part of the treatment for those conditions. And they included glaucoma, seizures, nausea, Alzheimer's disease, and PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. Now, interestingly, at least to me, is that only about 10% of it's actually 140,000 cardholders have conditions which fall into a catch-all category of severe or chronic pain, meaning that only about 13,000 of those 153,000 people have a specific condition that I think most people had thought would be the majority of the cardholders having. So we have a catch-all, and the vast majority of medical marijuana cardholders actually have a condition that falls into the catch-all, which is chronic pain.
Mm-hmm.
So having said that, I think another interesting fact is that only about 10% of the marijuana that is sold through the dispensaries are in the edible form, like candy and candy bars and brownies and all of that. About 90% of the marijuana sold last year was in the form of leaves and flowers that could either be made into tea or smoked.
Right.
People who learn that there are edibles, I think, assume that a greater percentage of the consumption is from the edible form. But in fact, the vast majority of the consumption is in the whole marijuana form, which, of course, is the leaves and flowers.
And the state legislature has been talking about a bill that would kind of measure whether there are contaminants in medical marijuana, because right now, I guess they're really, I don't know what kind of oversight there is.
Well, and that's exactly right. There is a Senate bill that is now in the House. It's called the Medical Marijuana Reform Act. It's sponsored by Senator Sonny Borelli. And interestingly, I'll just say this at the onset. In order for this to become law, it's going to require at least a three-quarter vote of the members of the House. It's already gotten a three-quarter vote, at least a three-quarter vote of the members of the Senate. But because it's changing a voter-approved ballot initiative that amended the Constitution, it requires three-quarters in each House. So that's a very high bar. But the legislation has passed the Senate, and it is now in the House. I don't know if it's going to pass the House with a three-quarter vote, but it may. It's now in committee. But to your point, under this proposed legislation, marijuana would be subject to testing by independent laboratories, and those laboratories would then report the results to the Department of Health Services. And if there were problems with the marijuana itself, such as bacteria or mold, that would be reported. Also under this proposed legislation, that sort of information would have to be on the label and would have to be advertised to the consumer so that the consumer essentially became aware of what he or she was getting, was buying. Right now, as you pointed out, medical marijuana in Arizona sort of falls through the cracks because it's a controlled substance under federal law, so the Food and Drug Administration rules don't apply. And there's really nothing in the Arizona Medical Marijuana Act which authorized the sale of marijuana for medical purposes that discusses this particular issue. In other words, the testing and the labeling and the packaging. So this bill, which Senator Borelli sponsored, would provide a sort of those type of fill-in-the-crack rules so that medical marijuana became more regulated.
All right, Don Luce, we have a bulletin coming in about the future of Sean Miller. Coach Miller has decided he will be staying on and has denied that ESPN report. It's really a fascinating story. We've got Ryan Hansen, Don, on the line. Ryan, are you with us?
I am, Bill.
Could you give Attorney Don Luce and me and our listeners the latest?
I surely can. I just stepped out of the McHale Center press room, and Sean Miller just completed issuing a statement that was about a 10-minute long statement about his situation and everything that's gone on. He started the statement off with apologizing to all the parties that the negative press and what it has brought on, especially the university, the Board of Regents, the president, all the way down to apologizing to DeAndre Ayton's family and how incredible he is as a student athlete and a person. And the nuts and bolts of it is he defiantly opposed any allegations or any reports that were made about him being on the phone call or anything about paying a player, arranging for a player to be paid. He said, "I have never done that and I never will." He was wearing an Arizona red polo at the podium. He continued to defiantly oppose any statement. He is outraged by the commentary that has been made nationally about his presumed guilt or part in all of this. He said he is ready to move on. His focus is now shifted squarely on leading Arizona to a Pac-12 championship and beyond in March. Bottom line, Sean Miller is back as the head coach at Arizona.
Ryan, was there any talk of suing ESPN? Was there any legal implications here?
It was a statement from Sean, and there were no questions to be asked. And no, Sean did not address any next steps about what he plans to do or not do other than his focus on coaching the team. But there were some very strong emotions that came out about how outraged he was about the presumed validity of the reporting that had been made.
All right, Ryan Hansen of Bon Voyage Travel. Ryan, we'll talk travel with you still in the coming weeks. We'll get you back on the show, but I understand, of course, you had to be there with this important announcement today, and we really appreciate you letting our listeners know. Thank you, Ryan.
You bet, and my apologies to Don for interrupting a great segment that I'm sure you will resume immediately.
No worries, Ryan. Thank you.
Don was very, from a legal point of view, believe me, Don was very interested in all of this, Ryan.
I'm sure he is.
Thank you very much, Ryan.
Take care, Ryan.
Ryan Hansen giving us the very latest. All right, here's what we're going to do, Tom Fairbanks, my fine engineer producer. Tom, we're going to take our break here. And then Don Luce is going to stick around because we've got another item I want to talk to Don about. And then we'll continue on with the Buckmaster Show. Let's take the break.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
All right, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Busy day, to say the least, during the noon hour today. If you didn't hear the news, Ryan Hansen called in. He had the very latest. Sean Miller will remain the head coach at the University of Arizona. We continue now our discussion with Attorney Don Luce of Luce, Brown & Hobkirk, Attorneys at Law. Our first segment, we were talking about the latest news concerning medical marijuana. Don, this U.S. Supreme Court decision affirming gay couples' parenting rights is a fascinating story with a local connection?
Yes, it involves a couple, a same-sex couple from Tucson, who were married in California in 2008, and they agreed to have a child through artificial insemination using an anonymous sperm donor. One of the women became pregnant in 2010. They moved to Tucson. They entered into a joint parenting agreement, executed mirror wills, and declared that they were equal parents to the child. Okay. Unfortunately, their relationship did not work out as they had planned, and they separated. And when they separated, the biological mother took the position that her spouse was not entitled to custody or visitation with respect to her biological child. The Arizona Supreme Court took up the case, and in 2017, in a very well-written, I thought, well-written opinion by Justice Bales, made it clear that in light of a 2015 U.S. Supreme Court decision, gender is no longer a factor in Arizona when it comes to custody or visitation rights. In fact, Bales said that same-sex couples are entitled in a civil marriage to all of the same terms and conditions as opposite-sex couples. And then a subsequent U.S. Supreme Court ruling made it clear that same-sex couples must have access to the constellation of benefits that the state has linked to marriage. So this week's order from the Supreme Court refusing to hear argument in this case signals strongly that not only are their prior decisions going to remain unchanged, but that at this juncture, they're very well, in some cases, not even going to hear arguments on issues that they believe they've already resolved through their prior decisions. I think this case has ramifications broader than just the facts and just custody and visitation, because if you think about it, when we're talking about the constellation of benefits that the state has linked to marriage, in Arizona especially, we're talking about community property. In other words, property acquired by the marital community is presumed to be owned by each spouse. And we've already, on prior shows, talked about health insurance benefits. At one point, there was a question about whether same-sex couples enjoyed the same dependent coverage as heterosexual couples. That's been resolved. Retirement benefits, adoption, and the list really goes on and on, because if you look through the Arizona statutes, there are innumerable references to gender when it comes to family, mm-hmm. when it comes to children, and when it comes to marital benefits. Mm-hmm. All of those statutes that contain a reference to gender essentially, by the recent decisions, no longer have relevance.
Wow, that is huge. So it's back to the books on all of those laws.
Well, I think, yes. But even without a revision, right. It's pretty clear in Arizona that it does not matter what your gender is. If you're in a marriage, whether it's a heterosexual marriage mm-hmm. or a same-sex marriage, you're entitled to the same benefits. And the courts are going to enforce that.
All right, Don Luce of Luce, Brown, Hobkirk, Attorneys at Law. Thank you very much, Don.
Thanks, Bill.
Don is the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, second edition. And it's available, as is Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Probably the best starting point would be go to Amazon. Check it out. They're up there, right?
They're there.
Don, have a great afternoon. Thank you, Bill, very much.
You too.
All right, coming up this afternoon, Mic Check with Mike Shaw. Mike's now at 2 hours. Shows from 4 to 6, and then tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson. Meet Bill Buckmaster Friday, our Friday Focus interview. The Reverend Robin Hoover, who was the founder of Humane Borders, will be my guest at 12:04. On behalf of Tom Fairbanks, Don Luce, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.